In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us unite our hearts this evening hour in opening prayer and thanksgiving unto our gracious Heavenly Father. Dear Lord God Almighty, we gather here this evening, dear Lord, with that prayer and that hope in our hearts that Thou would again this evening give us words of wisdom, words of comfort, and words of encouragement as we endeavor to travel on this journey of faith towards our home in heaven. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that Thou would protect us and keep us in faith, that Thou would watch over our children, our friends, our brothers and sisters in faith, so that they too could reach that eternal destination in heaven. We also pray this evening, dear Lord, for those who have given up their faith, that Thou would work within their hearts and provide them with that grace that they too could receive Your mercy and forgiveness. We thank You for the many blessings of this life, for our friends, our family, for all of the comforts that Thou hast given us. And we also thank You, dear Lord, that Thou hast given us Thy Word, the Holy Bible, this light which shines forth in the darkness of the world, and that Thou hast also blessed us with the gift of the Holy Spirit, that Spirit that enlightens us, that Spirit that opens Thy Word. And we pray that that Spirit would also guide us in these services this evening. But most of all, dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for giving us and sending into this world Thy only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus, who suffered and died on that middle cross of Golgotha, so that by believing on Him we would not perish, but have everlasting life in heaven. And we pray even in that way that Jesus taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I thought I would read this evening from the Gospel of St. Luke, how it's recorded for us in chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. And the words are as follows in Jesus' name. And one of the Pharisees desired Him that He would eat with him. And He went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at His feet behind Him, weeping, and began to wash His feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed His feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden Him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, but she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the women, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Amen. Last weekend, I served there in the Prescott Valley congregation, and of course, I'd want to bring those greetings of love and God's peace. We, of course, have that opportunity often to fellowship with those dear brothers and sisters, and then, of course, there was just recently, yesterday, the funeral of our dear sister, Delaine. We were up there the previous week when she had passed away, and weren't able to get to that funeral yesterday, but I'm sure there are some here that were able to attend. And in those occasions, we often think and reminisce of what things will be like on the other side of death. But here in God's kingdom, we can be joyful and thankful, and we can believe that our sins are forgiven and that we have that hope of salvation and that hope of everlasting life in heaven. Here, we've heard that story of that a sinful woman. We hear often that portion in the communion rites of where it speaks of this particular portion of God's word, how this woman who was a great sinner, how she loved Jesus, and we see that in this story from God's Word, and we see how these Pharisees who knew the law of God and how they strive to follow that law, and they also knew that Jesus was very learned in the scriptures. And these Pharisees, particularly this one Simon, had invited Jesus to come and to eat with him, with them. And of course, Jesus was a Jewish man. He was one that the Pharisees felt was learned. And so they asked him to come and to sit and eat with him, with them. And so he went into the Pharisee's house and he sat down to meet. And this woman who was in the city says she was a sinner, and she knew that Jesus was there, that he sat at meat in the Pharisee's house. And we can assume that this woman was one who had repented of her sins, and she had heard that Jesus was there, and so she went to also see Jesus. And it says that she brought unto him an alabaster box of ointment and went in and stood at his feet, behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. We know that it was a custom of the Jewish people, particularly because of where they lived. It was very much like here in the desert, southwest, when one would travel with their sandals, their feet would become dirty. And it was a custom that when one would come into a home that their feet would be washed. And it was also a custom of that time that that one would also use oils to give their dried out skin moisture. And we know that we hear often in the Bible about being anointed with oil. But here in this particular parable, we see where this woman came and she washed Jesus' feet and she anointed them with this ointment or this oil. And it says, when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, and this would be Simon, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner. But Jesus knew what this man was thinking, what this Pharisee was thinking. This Pharisee who felt himself above this woman, for she was a sinner. We remember that these Pharisees were ones that strived to fulfill the law of God. And he kind of stuck up his nose at this, that Jesus would allow this sinful woman, this man Jesus, who these Pharisees saw as a prophet, that he would allow them or allow her to touch, even touch his feet. But one thing we notice here in this text is that although it was the custom of the Jewish people to treat their guests in that way, that they would wash their feet and so forth, that apparently when Jesus came into this Pharisee's home, that he didn't offer them that courtesy, or didn't offer Jesus that same courtesy. They were more interested in the knowledge that Jesus might give unto them. They perhaps wanted to debate him, but their heart was not in the same place as this sinful woman. And as such, they in scorn looked at both Jesus and the sinful woman. And Jesus understood what he was thinking, what this man Simon was thinking. And as such, he spoke unto them this parable. And he told them that he has something to say unto thee, unto Simon. And so Simon said, Master, say on. And he went on to speak this parable that there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her own tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. It says, My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. He went on to speak of how her sins were many. And she recognized this, that word of God, which reveals unto us through the law of Moses, had touched her heart, and she came unto the knowledge of her many sins, unto the knowledge of that greatest sin of all, which was unbelief. And as such, she was forgiven her sins through the gospel. We remember that Jesus preached that gospel often. He said that sons and daughters, be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven. And so here we have these Pharisees who knew the law, who tried to follow this law, but their hearts were hardened. They did not see, or they did not understand, that the law was impossible to fulfill. And there was little love in their hearts for Jesus. But we see this woman who came and she washed the feet of Jesus. She kissed his feet. She anointed his feet with oil. And we even remember how Jesus, in that Last Supper, how he showed his disciples to wash one another's feet. And we know that in that teaching that Jesus gave unto his own, that he was showing unto them how important it is that we wash the dust from our own feet but rather the feet of our brothers and sisters in faith, so that we can continue to travel on this road which leadeth unto heaven. And when our feet are washed, and it's not necessary, even as Jesus told his own to who were already believing, that it wasn't necessary for the whole body to be washed, for one's heart had already been washed and it, they had that gift of faith, but rather that we know that sins come upon us daily and that we need to have our sins washed. And when Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, he showed unto them that that love of God. And when we wash one another's feet, we also show each other love, that true love that comes from above, that love that God showed unto us when he gave his son as that perfect sacrifice on that middle cross of Golgotha. And so Jesus, he spoke, and he reassured her that she said, "Thy sins are forgiven." And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, "Who is this that forgiveth sins also?" And he said to the woman, "Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." It's our faith that will get us to heaven. The preaching of the gospel is that grace gift from God that Jesus gave unto his own. That's, we live through the gospel. We need that gospel message, for without it, our hearts would become hardened and we no longer would seek after the preciousness of God's word. We would no longer see the beauty of his kingdom. And when we think of this anointing of oil, we think of how the Spirit of God has been given even unto us, and that we have this Spirit in our hearts, and because of this, these fruits of faith come forth in our life, even as it was with this sinner, this woman, that we are also sinners, but because we have that Holy Spirit, then there are those fruits of living faith. And that greatest fruit of all is that fruit of love. For without love, there is no faith. And this is that special kind of love, that love of the that comes from above, the love of the Father. I was thinking also of today, how we heard earlier how this was this Sunday was a day of prayer unto the Heavenly Father, and how we oftentimes need to turn to God in prayer. And I was thinking of this portion of God's word in the epistle of James, how it reads in chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, how it reads in this way: "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, And the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Here again, we hear of that of that prayer and how we would, as it says, that and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And when we even read this portion of Scripture, and we think of sickness, those Pharisees there in that home with Jesus, that they were also sick. They were sick in this way that they had sin, and that they were sick because their sins had not been forgiven. And when we even read this portion of Scripture here, and oftentimes in the world, in the churches of the world, when they read this portion, they think of it in more of a carnal or of a temporal way, that one can be healed of their sickness. And it's true that we want to pray for those who are sick, those who have been injured, and we want to pray in that way unto God that they would be healed. But we also know that the sickness that James speaks of here is also that sickness that can come upon us when we find ourselves in that state where sin has overcome us, and where one needs to be healed of this sickness. And sometimes it is necessary in that way that as it says here, is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, anointing him with that Holy Spirit. And the prayer of faith shall save those who are sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if they have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And so it is even necessary and important, and I think our brother even this morning touched on it in his sermon, how we live in a time when there are perhaps some who are perhaps even in this very same state, and that we would want to gather together, and we would want to pray over even this matter, and that that prayer of faith would save those who are sick, and that the Lord would raise them up, and if they have committed sins, that those sins should be forgiven, and that they could be anointed with that oil from on high. They could be anointed again with the saving grace of the gospel, and that through the power of the Holy Spirit, one could come unto the knowledge of the truth. We want to remember this message here of James, that we would confess our faults one to another, and that we would pray for one another, that we can be healed, and that that this prayer of the righteous, that it is a prayer that the Heavenly Father hears in heaven, that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We have a good and a gracious Heavenly Father, one who cares for us and one who protects us and guides us on this way of faith. Most importantly, as children of God, and we are united together in that unity of the Spirit. We are of the same mind. We have the same understanding in these spiritual matters. But most importantly, there is that bond of Christian love. And when we go back to that that story that's recorded for us in God's Word of that sinful woman in the house of the Pharisee, how those Pharisees' hearts were cold, how there was no room in their hearts for the mercy and the grace of God, but this woman who was a great sinner, she loved Jesus with all of her heart. And we, together with her, can say in that very same way that that we also, as children of God, we feel the sinfulness in our own flesh. We experience the doubts here upon the journey. We are tempted on every side. We experience this daily, but by the grace of God and through the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, we are able to continue to travel on this journey of faith as believers. And even this morning or this evening hour, those of you who have come here perhaps feeling as this sinful woman did, that you can also believe your sins forgiven in Jesus' precious name and atonement blood. Jesus spoke unto her and said that thy sins are forgiven. He gave her that assurance, even though she sat there and she wept over her sins and she washed the feet of Jesus with those very same tears, that he showed that greatest love of all unto her, that love that comes from the Heavenly Father, that her sins were forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And we often hear that from the world when we confess our faith unto them. And when we begin to discuss that, how does one obtain the forgiveness of sins? The world would teach that all that is necessary is that you pray directly to God. And that one would then be saved. And that would be all that is necessary. And it sometimes we've heard in recent times how even this type of message perhaps is creeping into God's kingdom. But dear brothers and sisters in faith, we know that it's by the grace of God, it's through the believing on this gospel message that we are saved through faith and not of ourselves, but rather it is the gift of God. And we want to continue to endeavor to travel in that way, confessing our faults one to another, even as James writes, that we would want to confess our faults one to another, and we would want to pray one for another, that we would be healed. And when we preach that gospel message of the forgiveness of sins one to another, our Heavenly Father in heaven, He also hears those words. And when He looks down upon us, He sees a righteous man and a righteous woman. He sees the work that Jesus did on our behalf. And we know that Jesus taught His own that it is necessary to wash one another's feet, that this is an act of love, and that we would anoint one another with that oil which is from above. And that by believing in this way, and by traveling in this way, we can reach our eternal home in heaven. This is where we want to travel to. This is the correct path that we would help one another upon this journey. That we would offer that staff of the gospel one to another, so that when we do stumble upon this way, that we can be uplifted and we can be guided unto that that home in heaven. And even this evening hour, as I come here before you, dear brothers and sisters, I also come with many sins and doubts, and can I believe my own sins forgiven? And I promise to believe with you. Jesus said unto that woman that thy faith hath saved thee, and go in peace. That is that peace of God, that peace that surpasses all wisdom and all understanding in this world. The world speaks of peace, and they look for peace here, and they look for peace there. They look through peace by doing good works. They look through peace in many different ways. But we know that that the only way to obtain this true peace of God is through the salvation which is gained by the preaching of the gospel and through the mercy of God, that He has given us grace and has given us faith in our hearts. And we can be thankful unto the Heavenly Father, and we can pray unto Him that even as our brother spoke this morning, how through prayer those Old Testament believers were able to overcome the armies of the enemy of the soul, and they were able to reach the end of their journey also, and to that obtain that place of salvation in heaven. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let us unite our hearts together in closing prayer and benediction. Dear Heavenly Father, we, Thy children, again this evening. Thank you that thou hast carried us in faith, that thou hast given us that nourishment and comfort that we need in order to reach our home in heaven. We pray that thou would even protect us as we go forth in this next week, and that thou would bless us even as thou hast spoken even in that benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.